Good morning. You are listening to The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio, Chinatown's only micro-broadcasting radio station. My name is Nicholas Miller, and I'm here, as always, fresh off his commuter flight from Austin, Texas, Stephen Cato.
Oh, boy. Yeah, here I am, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Yep. 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 Well, you know, all of us here in LA only get to see you one evening a week, Steve, which is a great travesty and loss to this town.
Thanks.
As always, for the next 9 months, I'll be asking, how are you and how is Austin?
I'm good. Yeah, still looking for work in Austin. My wife's settling in okay to her job, I think. You know, realizing where to put an effort and where not to. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, Austin's not a bad place. It's just a question of whether it offers us anything that we don't get elsewhere. So, like, for example, the swimming pools there are sensational. Barton Springs, Deep Eddy, they really do swimming pools well. And it's funny because a swimming pool is kind of an area with, like, a reduced amount of rules. Or, like, lots of the rules are just common sense rules, you know, like... The rules are there so that you don't drown. And, like, no one wants to drown. So there's that. But then there's, like, a rule for every other thing. There's, like, you can't buy liquor until it's after 12 and until 4 on a Sunday. You know, stuff like that. It's just, it's weird. I'm settling in okay. I mean, I really enjoy going to the swimming pool, and I really enjoy the longer distances of cycling there. And I'm getting used to the slower pace of life, actually. And all that aside, yeah, I mean, the cat's lost some weight, like, because there's a lot of stairs in our place, and there's lots of sort of acrobatic opportunities. Yeah, so we're more than there are at our place in LA. So the cats have, like, become very fit, which is, you know, not what I thought would happen in this. I guess I wasn't thinking one way or the other about the fitness of the cats, but now the cats are, like, in good shape, you know, like, hot cat, you know, good body on those cats. Anyway, how are you?
Oh, really? Well, I mean, that's a little bit of a different account than we got last time. I guess I'd say I'm glad to hear it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Well, as you probably noticed, the weather seems to have finally broken here in LA.
Oh, jeez.
It's a touch cooler than the miserable high 90s we've had for many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Although, have you been reading about this so-called California blob?
No. They don't report on the California blob in Austin, Texas. What is it?
Yeah. I'm suspicious that it's just some kind of Breitbart plant in the meteorology industry. But supposedly there's a blob of hot air
I see,
coming to settle
name.
Over
right.
Los Angeles that from Mexico that intends... plans
from Mexico, right.
To keep the weather here very warm deep into the winter.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
From Mexico.
Yeah. Well, supposedly the blob is already here, but it's not having the suggested effects.
Oh, well, I see. I mean, if you asked me where the blob was, I would certainly say any blob was definitely going to go to Los Angeles. If I was a blob, that's where I'd go. Right? I mean, you too, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, me? I'm pretty good, you know. Settling into life as an adult, you know, it took me almost 35 years to get here. But now that I have a terminal degree under my belt.
Mm-hmm. You got a case of the terminal degrees.
No, you don't need a terminal degree to be an adult. That's not what I was saying. It's just one of those experiences that I think is intended to make you feel more mature.
Well, I think that's true.
Do I feel more mature? I feel tired. Yeah,
that's very mature. That's very mature.
I remember
mature
as a kid, when my dad would come home from work, he would always lay on his side in front of the fire with a pillow kind of lodged under his armpit and his arm propped up, hand holding his cheek, and he would fall asleep. Yeah. And when we had a dog, the dog would kind of curl up next to him and he would rub the dog's belly.
Aww, Norm.
So I associate, masculine adulthood with being very tired.
I think that's reasonable. I think that's...
Yeah. Well, also, at that time, when I entered the age where I was curious about what masculinity was, my father was flying internationally for American Airlines. So okay. He would keep these bizarre hours and had kind of trained himself to never sleep more than 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Oh.
So he was always taking naps, which I found very strange.
Uh-huh.
And but somehow associated that with, whatever activities he does out of the house to keep the family going.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, no one in my family ever took naps, I realize. I might be the first person in my entire family who wasn't suffering from an illness to have ever done napping. Yeah. And, your father being an airline pilot and all, I got to ask, this is a pretty weird day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right. It is. It is, in fact, September 11th. Some 18 years since the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Planes flew into the buildings in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, given, like I was saying, the things my father did outside of the house, still does, to keep the family going, is just that, flying planes around. So that had a mark on my family, as I'm sure it had a mark on almost everyone's family. I wonder what it was like for people, say in like Latin America. Like, what was the perception of that event like? But anyhow, all the people I knew who were living in the States had a deep impact. I remember it happened maybe around 8 or 9 in the morning, I feel like, Tejas time. And so I just got into school. Maybe it was even earlier. I was, at that point, the design editor of my high school newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to have to go occasionally early to school and meet with the other editors. And I think it was one of those mornings. And when I showed up a few minutes late to the meeting and they were all watching TV and I was wondering, curious as to what was going on. And they told me. And then, oddly enough, it didn't strike me that perhaps my father would be somehow involved in the situation. I didn't think about it at all. Thank goodness he was not. But when the principal came on during first period and announced that a plane had flown into the World Trade Center in New York, and if anyone was personally affected by this, they're welcome to go home, I immediately realized, my dad flies planes for a living. I should go check on him. So I went home, and he was home, and it was very traumatic.
Oh, no.
How about you? Were you living in Canada, Toronto?
Yeah.
Pretty close to New York. What were people thinking there?
Well, I mean, I was living in Toronto. I was in university. My then girlfriend's grandma lived in New York. So I called her and told her what was on TV. I hadn't left for school yet. I think school started at 9 for me anyway. So, I I went to school and everyone was watching it at school and they just canceled class and we just went home and people just sort of wandered around. I remember bumping into a lot of my friends out in the streets, which is easy to do in Toronto. I mean, you generally bump into someone in, you know, in Toronto when you know enough people in Toronto. But I bumped into a lot of people and everyone was just sort of like, oh wow, what a weird day. And there were people who were, not happy about the people dying in the plane crashes and in the towers, but definitely felt like this was the result of foreign policy choices in America coming home to roost. And there was a certain feeling in some quarters that there was like a just desserts thing. There were people who were just flat out flabbergasted and horrified and very emotional. And there were people, there were all kinds of reactions. There were people who were just glad to have a day off in a weird way. It was a really strange day. It was like medium warm. I remember going to this, there was this butcher shop that was down the street from the neighborhood where we all lived, my friends and I. And they also had a deli counter and you can go get sandwiches or hamburgers there that they would, you know, just cook up for you from the, you know, they'd sell you the hamburger raw or they'd cook it for you. And they, we all just got fries. First thing, you know, we left class at like 10 and got fries. Pretty weird day, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, on that somber note, I think we should head into our guest.
Sure.
We have with us a very dignified German musician who played in the electronic music group known as Kraftwerk. No, we don't have Ralph, nor do we have Florian.
No one gets Ralph.
They don't do interviews. Never have. Supposedly, never will. But if they were to do interviews, I would say that it would probably be with a talking show. That'd be their first one.
Yeah, they call us first. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we do have a member of the band, and as many followers of the band know, it was a difficult band to play in, but they made some very rewarding music. Let's let him tell us a bit about his experience at the Kling Klang Studios. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Wolfgang Flur.
Hell yeah.
And to be a creative input for them? Was it hard to get a position in Kraftwerk?
I didn't fight it. I didn't find for it. I didn't go for fishing, as we say. I did my job as a drummer, and I knew from the beginning that it was their mothership, you know, and they decided and they said everything what had to be done. So to be with them was a good luck for me for a special time, absolutely. But I was not that, it was not that influence, it was not that passion like maybe Ralf or Florian. It's their baby, as I say, you know. And the first time, maybe the first one or two years, it was just money-making for me. I really can't tell that truly. And then there came a kind of passion in me when we were proud and we were handled all over the world. Of course, this fits to every young man, you know. Everyone likes that. And so you see, you are a part of it and you have developed that kind of minimal drumming for what I was called by them from the beat band before, you know. Because they always had problems with their drummers before. They were too good and they did too much. Trained in jazz music and from other fields, you know. So that was a big problem for Kraftwerk as well, and they nearly lost me too. It was just a little thing that I stayed or left, but you know, it successfully there stood that little tiny box which which heated my heart, you know. If that wasn't, I were not with Kraftwerk. I wouldn't play that drum machine for them.
How would you describe the time between Electric Café and the Mix album?
I don't know anything about it because I was not in the studio. I was, in that time, I was outside, as we say, in the underground. I had to fulfill a big love, probably the biggest which I had in my life then, in this time. And I traveled Europe so much as I could to see all the places again, which we had not enough time with Kraftwerk, but I had my ideas where to go and to go deeper in that culture and this culture. And this was a long time my most developing my most interest. So it was just the time when Karl told me later, Wolfgang, good that you were not here. These years were incredible for him, he told me. They had done a big mistake from my side, and Karl told me the same. They bought a synclavier. Oh God, you know what that is? To work with it, you need years to go through such a big, like a telephone book, the advice book, how to work with a tool, with the instrument. It's one of the most complicated synthesizers of the world, and Ralf and Florian are also not the fastest ones to go through a technical Bedienungsanleitung, you know. And Karl said they had sitting for hours, for months, for years to get everything fixed, and then they rebuilt the studio, they made it very new, like looking like the NASA today, climate control inside, air conditioning, and new synthesizers. And they had more to do with getting themselves in shape to work the instruments than bring new music out. And then came digital out, then came MIDI out. And then the industry exploded with new systems. And they ran after it. They were not the forerunners, as we say in Germany, you know. And this took all the years. Karl told me I just was not with them. I just can only recall him, and he said, "It's good that you were not with us. It was so boring to store everything what was all the years recorded in analog style." To replace them and everything into digitalized things, you know.
Do you think that Ralf and Florian are bitter today?
What?
Are a little bit sad that they can't do music that is just as overwhelming that music they made in the 70s?
I cannot see and cannot look into them. I saw him yesterday, by the way. It was Friday. I had been in an electronic shop here, a new one. Very big and elegant warehouse on the Königsallee, and went out, and suddenly we went parallel, he with his little daughter, and I think we looked each other for a second or so, and then he took his daughter, went on the other side of the street. He was afraid to see me. I said to myself, poor boy, you could have said good tag, maybe just guten tag. But there was a time when he was much more into no problems touching me, because he really liked me. I know it. He was the one who went for me. It was not Ralf. It was more Florian, I think. But today it's just the opposite, you know. But that I can understand. It depends on the book. It has to do with that. Wahrscheinlich.
How do they live today? Do they live by themselves, or do they live together with someone?
Them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because it was something Ralf lived with his sister.
I told you, I was never invited. I was not in the mood to visit them, you know. I just can imagine. I can imagine that there is no big difference like they used to live in earlier time. Because people in these years do not change too much. They get a bit more stupid, maybe more a bit more isolated, a bit more... crazy if they live on their own. I think Ralf is maybe married at the moment, or he told me something in 96 on the restaurant which I told you, but this is not important. I think Florian has a daughter, a little one, beautiful. I think she was 6 or 7 years old.
But are they ordinary people, or are they a little bit crazy, you know?
You must be a little bit crazy if you do things like that. If you are normal, you wouldn't do crazy things. Normal people do normal things. It's good if you are an artist that you are a bit crazy, or even a bit more, you know. The more crazy you are, the more crazy things come out of his brain or her brain. And other people, which are average, they like crazy things, different things. Because sometimes they have it also inside of themselves, but they are afraid to make crazy things. Yeah. And so they need the artist to prepare it, to make it for them, to say, you can do that, or listen to that, and, you know.
What happened concretely the day you left Kraftwerk?
It was not just one day, as I told you. It was just that I went less and less to the studio until I went not longer to the studio. And then I met some friends which had a furniture design atelier, and I worked with them. What I originally was trained as a carpet maker and furniture maker and things like that, and I worked with them. Suddenly I was a furniture designer, and I loved that for some years as well. I didn't think for music again, generally not.
Why do you think Kraftwerk is hugely influential today?
Yes, it depends on this style of music, which so much invited other bands to do something similar. It spread a whole new sound over the world. We didn't know that by the time, you can imagine, but today we know. People tell us, and we can listen to the sounds which are always used in other groups, even today in productions. I can hear every little Kraftwerk sound which is used or which is prepared to sound like it, you know, in any other production. And sometimes it sounds really funny.
Can you give any examples?
Not so much at the moment, you know. You can hear it in every average modern production, pop production. There is something, a little bit Kraftwerkianische elements inside, you know.
I mean, even Madonna's music, do you?
Mm-hmm. The last album was very good. She had a very good producer, I think, that was it William Orbit?
Yeah, no, it was a French guy called Mirvaz.
Uh-huh.
But do you get like letters from famous artists thanking you for giving you the influence?
No, not from artists, not only from fans.
Okay, I think we have to go outside soon. Just see that we have checked all the questions
mm-hmm.
that I have to ask you.
How long does your machine run?
Forever.
Nice evening.
I think we could leave. I think we'll go outdoors. Do you wish that you had a contact with Ralph and Florian?
No. Why, could you do me one? No.
Convenient.
Have you tried to contact them anyway?
I have, through the record company. I don't know how.
And what did they tell you?
They didn't tell me anything. I didn't give an answer.
Mm, I thought so. My friend asked me today, why does he not ask Ralph and Florian? I said, he won't get in contact to them. I think the first thing he would try to contact the EMI, and they would say, sorry, we can't help you. That's the way. They don't keep persons, they don't let anyone on their surface. I think this is good for them. I appreciate for them. It's their style and it's their idea of being isolated, and so this is maybe just the reason why they can live on their own, not so much recognized by people, because of course most people which like Kraftwerk know how they look like, but they look every half year they look different. I know Florian likes to change his shape, the whole shape. He changes cars every 3 months, I think, and the whole outfit and haircut and fashion clothes, what he wears. And Ralf not so much, but Florian, he's really a dress man, you know.
But what they try to obtain is some kind of mystic about themselves.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe you, now when you wrote this book, have this mystique is a little bit gone?
That could be, yes. But not too much, because I didn't go too much into privately things, you know. The book is generally written about my whole life, my own life. It's a book about Wolfgang, and Kraftwerk is a part of Wolfgang, of course, and Wolfgang is also a part of Kraftwerk. But I think Kraftwerk is more a part of me than I am a part of Kraftwerk. You know what I mean with that. For the whole thing, what they gave to me, until the point that I didn't like them anyway, because today I wouldn't go to them, and I even don't like their behavior, what they do to other people, how they handle artists and colleagues. This is not my style. This is something which I learned later, that they have to go to school again to learn a little bit. And artistically, they couldn't teach me anything new today. There I had to go different ways. And this was, as I told you before, my Nyamo project is different from that. And I learn by younger people with them, with which I work today. They learn from me, I learn from them. This is an open project, which I like, which is not locked behind thick metal doors, you know. It's absolutely open, it's free, and it's full of fun and humanity.
Thank you very much. Then we to go outside. I actually heard what you did with Mouse on Mars.
Yeah.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
You mean the album?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what song.
Do you know the Time Pie?
I heard the record, yeah.
You have one?
I don't have it.
Sorry, I would have given you one. It's a pity. You give me your address, and I send you one. I have just one, some left. They are still in the shops anyway, but they didn't promote it. They didn't tell anybody.
No.
They just fulfilled their contract in doing the record into the shops and telling nobody of them.
Mm.
It's hard. It's hard, no?
It's hard. I really see that. Because that's the problem with this conglomerate.
What?
Can I
remove it?
Yeah. You go get it. Harald, food.
Boing.
This is like an order. Like an order.
There.
Yeah, okay.
You went to that big thing.
Okay. Yeah. Is this okay? Can I film?
Yeah. No problem.
No, thank you.
I have no problem because I like this town.
Yeah.
And I always like to talk about it, that I like the town, you know. And we can make some kind of sightseeing, town seeing.
Yeah.
This is the famous Oststraße where your hotel is. Everything is very close to the Kling Klang studio. And we go now to the Berger Allee where we used to live in the first 10 years of Kraftwerk. Follow me. Stop.
Is it on? Let's check. It's on, yes.
Hallo. Boom, check. 1, 2, 3. Can you listen? Dude, you cannot listen something, huh? You cannot hear it what I say. I mean, from the microphone.
No.
So this is radio microphone.
Yeah, this is for transmission.
Your camera?
It's the company's cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
Barracuda camera.
Barracuda camera, exactly.
What is exactly Barracuda?
Barracuda is a news agency and a production team for documentaries on music.
I see.
And culture also. We make theater and.
And this is yours privately?
No, this is not. It's not private.
Mm-hmm. Technique.
Det fungerar på min kamera. Ska vi sätta oss där nu?
Ja, vi gör det ifall det inte blir.
So tell me about your memories here in Düsseldorf. Were you born here?
No. You know that I'm born in Frankfurt. Ich bin ein Frankfurter Würstchen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means?
I flip for the Wurst, yeah. Ich bin ein Berliner.
Ein Sausage, yeah. Ich bin ein Sausage. That I don't eat sausage today. I don't eat meat today. Anyway, they say Frankfurter Würstchen.
And this is in Hessen, this is in the south of Germany, and they speak different, they think different, and I had to move from there in the age of 7 to the Rhineland area with my parents. And another thing which I think the hall where we go now in the exhibition is not so light, it's a bit dark. Don't you have a lamp for it?
No, we don't.
Don't you actually. Don't need?
No, we don't.
It's actually. So good?
We didn't, it,
the I lens is so good?
I think it's so good, yeah.
Okay.
It's very modern. So, in what direction is the Klingklang studio?
What direction is behind me? Opposite. 7 minutes from here by feet.
Mm. Could we walk there as well and check it?
Maybe.
Yeah?
No, not walk. That's too far. We have to go by a car. But I won't go in there.
No, of course.
You can film from the open window, maybe. A little bit the entrance and the Elektro Müller sign above of it. And
So should we go to your car? We go, Carlos.
Ah, it's true.
It's rot. Es ist gefährlich.
Es ist rot. Das ist verboten. Verboten to go on red. How old is it in your country?
Well, I guess
they have a bit red as well. Mm-hmm. Sie haben auch rot in Schweden.
Haben
ja,
auch rot.
Ja. So.
Jetzt können wir gehen.
Anyway, this was also the fields where we went to the restaurants in the evenings after Kraftwerk. Here on the Oststrasse there had been some restaurants, and an ice cream shop was the famous Palantini over there in the Graf Adolf Straße, and a parallel Straße is the Königsallee with the famous Café Bittner, where we always had breakfast, you know. Now we have to cross the street and you follow to my car.
Yes.
You are good in running backwards.
I am, I'm very used to this.
How long did you train that?
I trained for like 2 years.
That's so, very good. It's coming. So now we have to cross.
Yep. Did you have any place where you played live here?
Where what?
Where you played live?
Live?
Kraftwerk played?
Yes, in the Philipshalle. We have a big concert hall. It's called Philipshalle, where we had 2 concerts. And they were not the best, by the way.
Uh-huh. Will you put the camera in the back?
No, I have it in my lap.
Okay.
So the best is that we go to the exhibition first, because I don't know if they close in 30 minutes.
Yeah. So where did you used to buy your electronic equipment?
Which?
For example, I don't know, if you had to need a new synthesizer or something.
I have just a new synthesizer, nothing else. I don't own a studio. I go to different studios with my new music. And this is which I like. This is a kind of my thinking of openness, of spreading to work with different people, you know. So I have my addresses at the moment where I work. With whom I work is dependent on the theme which I have for my new ideas. The new album is maybe made in 3 or 4 different studios.
Could you please turn off the radio?
With 3 or 4 different partners, you know. But mostly at the moment I work with Kurt Dahlke from the Atatak studio. He's, and I have a new song for you, which we are working at the moment. You want to listen to it?
Yes, please.
So this is a world general appearance of On the Beam is the song called. We have it in German, in English, and in Japanese recorded.
You like doing that, recording in different languages, don't you?
Uh-huh. The Japanese version, this is interesting, is sung by the singer of Pizzicato 5, Nomi Amaki. She was here, and I love that mostly.
Could you turn it a little bit down and catch an octave and take the sound of it? Great. So we heard what you speak.
It was too loud.
No, it was great, but it was solid. Okay, no, sorry. I just okay, sorry. It's fine. We can even turn it up a little bit.
Yeah, I just wanted to present it to you privately.
So this is Yamu.
This is Yamu. Yamu's news maxi, which follows by the album.
Wow, it sounds really good. It's poppy.
Yeah, it's a pop song, absolutely pop song, yes.
Okay. Okej. Vad ska jag börja? Ska vi göra något utbandet?
Nej, men alltså gör det sen.
Ja, just det.
Vi tog alla enkelt bilder när man sitter i bandet.
Ja, just det, okej.
Och det vill ha så man hör.
Jag förstår. Only good being an ex-craft prick when you try to make new music?
Not always good. It opens some doors sometimes, but you are always connected with this stigma, you know, and you always have to explain your differences and how is the difference of your music. And so, I mean, someone who knows Kraftwerk music, he properly can recognize the difference himself mostly, I think. If you listen to Yamo, it sounds warmer, you know, and this was my opinion too. I was not longer interested in themes like robots, like man machines and computers, you know. This was not so much my interest. It had to be different. It had to be a warmer sound, and I wanted to show the people that electronically prepared music has not absolutely to sound cold, you know. Like most people think, if they think on techno music, and so I don't like that average techno music which is made for the dance halls. Okay, this is something to dance on. This is something for the gymnastic of the people in the discos. And we had in our time we had the same thing with disco music. You know, it's okay. It's needed. It has its place, and it's okay with it. But. It's not my absolute taste today. It's simply not intelligent enough. It's not creative enough. It's just boo, 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 boo. You know what it is.
Yeah.
I have to find a place now to put the car because we are just on the museum. And here it's not so good.
Oh, yeah,
good.
We were hurried. Just before...
And then turn it in once more.
Good sound. So, I have stolen the one of your hotel, a bonbon. I like bonbons. You too. Delicious. And, tell me about your country. Anton Corbijn signed his flag with Björk. You see Björk?
Yeah.
And they have some others as well. Important persons of the showbiz. And I show you. They show also me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you. I was astonished to see it. I didn't know that big picture. And it shows me 30 years younger and even slimmer, of course.
So, Asma, where are we going right now?
We go to the Nordrhein-Westfalen Forum. This is a museum of modern art, where they show special exhibitions, and now it is the Anton Corbijn exhibition, a photographer from Netherlands, who made some very nice photos of pop art from all over the world.
Does it make you feel good, like being on a museum, a photograph of you?
It was particular, it was astonishing. It was astonishing, yes. Even in the own town, which I didn't know, you know.
Yeah.
So it was unusual, and I didn't know it. People called me from and told me I have to look into the newspapers, because they showed the pictures everywhere in the German Düsseldorf newspapers.
It's all good to turn here.
Okay. Should we take those?
Was hinten an der Wand hängt von der Gruppe Kraftwerk.
Ja.
Jetzt bin ich mit der jungen Frau und ihm hier. Wir würden ganz gerne mal eben da kurz.
Mich hatte gerade der Lippert angerufen und gesagt, ich kriege den jetzt gar nicht mehr auf dem
Handy.
Wer
ist denn das?
Ja,
jetzt haben wir die ganze Zeit
Telefon.
Interviews gemacht. Ja. Aber wir brauchen das Interview gar nicht machen. Das haben wir schon längst woanders gemacht. Wir wollen nur kurz mich vor meinem eigenen Bild da
okay.
Dann sind wir auch schon wieder weg. Wir brauchen kein Licht, gar nichts. Ne?
Ich gebe Ihnen nur mal.
Nur gerade diese. Maybe we go the straightest way. Come here.
What did
Carl's
you say? What did you say?
You see in the back my hair from the doll, and on the right side you see Carl's. Can you see that? There are lots of people I know. Isabella Rossellini, Miss Foster. Life looks so sad. Why does he look so sad?
So sad.
Yeah. What do you think about all that, Steve?
Oh, I mean, in some ways it really pulls my heartstrings, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, sometimes you're in a band and the band's bigger than you are. It's a bigger deal than any one of you, and you realize that. But then you also realize that you're, you know, not the band. And you're around for these things, but you aren't those things. And you have your interests that are not those interests. And I don't know. It's a very, I guess the retrospective aspects of it are very melancholic. Otherwise, he just seems like a guy who got lucky in some ways and had a great career and continues to do his own work, which, you know, isn't Kraftwerk, right?
Yeah, I agree. Somehow, somehow it seems like playing second fiddle to Ralph und Florian seemed like a pretty good gig.
I think it's not so bad, right?
Yeah. Both former guest Karl Bartos and Wolfgang seem relatively undamaged and enthusiastic about music still.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the typical punk rock narrative is, you know, you interview some person in their 60s in New York and they've turned to like sadomasochism and like expensive candles.
Yeah.
Later in life.
Yeah, right. You know.
Yeah. That's right. They do generally still wear all black.
Yeah. You know, nothing outstrips being a drone musician. I mean, like Lamont Young and Marianne Zazila, or I guess just Lamont Young now, just keep doing it. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to shed that one.
Can't let that one go.
Mm-hmm.
We're black, though, Stan.
Well, you know, it got my blood flowing thinking about building a complex music studio like Kling Klang.
Yeah.
I've been out of the synth game for a little while, but...
Yeah.
All those LEDs and knobs just really get me going.
Yeah, and you know, they would have been bulbs.
Yeah, I envisioned creating a space kind of like a Vegas casino where time stands still.
Oh.
Or lasts forever.
Oh, you.
Do you have any immediate thoughts on your fantasy music studio, Steve? I'm sure it's going to be quirky.
You know, thanks, Nicholas. I had ideas. And then I saw this picture of, what's that artist's name? Bob Wilhite. He made all the sets for the Guy de Quinte productions. And he had a band and everyone was just playing. It was like something out of a textbook showing you events at the Cabaret Voltaire. It was goofy, but it was also like a kind of, you know, it understood that kind of avant-gardism was dead forever. And so it's this guy playing like a giant cone and someone playing a huge cube and someone else playing like a big sphere. And they're all really brightly colored. And it's maybe the late 80s or the early 90s. And I thought like, that looks like a good band. So it's not so much a studio. It's more of a sort of, an ambiance.
Yeah.
A feel.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to Wolfgang's new albums in multiple languages.
Yeah, I hope they come out eventually.
Seems kind of nice how older artists, their goals become very simple.
Mm.
I feel like when we had John Cage and Morton Feldman on, they were talking about the same thing.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Yeah, I look forward to very simple goals.
Yeah, or even to Conchi.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a week.
Well, as you get older... And as your goals get simpler, you get tired earlier in the evening. So,
yeah,
this is going to be the talking show signing off for the night. Good morning, Chinatown.
I'm going to lie down with a pillow under one arm and a cat and fall asleep in front of the fire. Goodbye.